You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of June 27th, 2017. And episode number 319, and this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And before I start off tonight, I want to wish a couple of people out there a happy birthday. I know, this is weird. I don't usually do this stuff. But first, first off, chat room regular, author, paranormal investigator, psychic medium, Reiki master, and all-around cool kid, Cheryl Lynn Carter. Happy birthday, Cheryl. Also, my friend John G. Sable Jr., the ghost excavator. Happy birthday, John. And I'm only one of two people allowed to use John's work in my work. And the ghost excavation methodology is used as part of my E4 method. I've known John for a while. We've done conferences together quite a few times. One last November. So anyway, happy birthday, Cheryl and John. Weird. I'm not used to doing the birthday shout out type of stuff, but they're actually today. I'm not going to do like birthdays of the week of the paranormal stuff. I've heard people do that before. I don't have time for that. I got a lot of other research to do for other things. And speaking of that, also today, now that I'm thinking about this, I also got to spend quite a bit of time talking to Audrey Hamilton, who is our another chat room regular, very, very big fan of the show and the network, about some of the things she's doing. And she apologized in advance for not being able to be here in the chat room tonight. But everybody in the chat room, she says, hello. Well, she didn't say it like that, but she said for me to say hello for her. So that's how I'm saying hello for her. Hello. And she's a busy researcher and a very good one at that. So she's tied up tonight doing stuff, but, you know, it's worth it. We all got stuff to do, and I get it. So we'll miss you in the chat room tonight. So what's going on tonight? Well, if you were in the chat room earlier, which you weren't, because I know I was watching, you will know that there are some more Chicago Phantom sightings to be reported tonight. A pair of them, actually. Bigfoot has been found in Round Rock, Texas. It's true. And we'll tell you how and who. You're going to be surprised when you find out who actually found Bigfoot. I knew this was going to happen this way. And the truth about the anonymous statement on NASA's announcement. You've probably been following that one. It's probably the largest paranormal news story in the news this week. And we'll also talk about, is the Nazca mummy the greatest discovery of the 21st century? No, I'll just answer that right now. No, it's not. Anyway, search on again for Amelia Earhart. Will we ever give up? I don't think so. And we'll also have the book of the week and probably some mayhem and fun along the way. Okay. I thought Audrey was in the – thanks, Dita. You confused me. I look in the chat room and she says Audrey is not here. I thought she said Audrey is here. Anyway. Back to the news, and this week's news is brought to you by the International Cryptozoology Museum, located in Portland, Maine. The International Cryptozoology Museum opened in 2003 and contains rare and original items collected by Lauren Coleman, the director of the museum. Visit the International Cryptozoology Museum at 4 Thompson's Point Road, Suite 106, and it's bigger than ever. It is really sweet. For more information, please visit cryptozoologymuseum.com. And the International Cryptozoology Conference 2017 ICC-17, presented by the International Cryptozoology Society and International Cryptozoology Museum, will be held in Portland, Maine on Labor Day weekend, specifically on Sunday, September 3rd, 2017. And for more information on that event, also point your browser to cryptozoologymuseum.com. You're not really going to point it there. You're going to click and type that name. But anyway, cryptozoologymuseum.com. A lot of great information. And get out there. It's summertime. You gotta go out to Maine. Everybody goes to Maine that lives here on the East Coast. Great place to visit. Beautiful lighthouses, and the water's freezing cold, but it's enjoyable. It's nice. And it's beautiful. Anyway, where are we at? Some information. I've added a couple of events to the events listing. So again, paranewsinsider.com, check out those events. And I'm still adding it. I know it's halfway through the year. It's almost the end of June. My gosh, it's almost the end of June. Wow, it just hit me. It'll be July 4th next week. And just so you know, we're going to have a show. There's going to be some fireworks live on the air. Trust me, I'll make up something. We'll figure out something to be controversial about, to do something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But anyway, show next week. It's already July 4th next week. Good grief. Anyway, July, the end of July, I will be speaking at the 2017 Kecksburg UFO Festival in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. And that's the site of an interesting event that happened back in December of 1965, where a UFO purportedly crashed. A lot of people saw this thing, and it's still a mystery to this day. And it's a lot of researchers are arguing about this. And there are at least four speakers. Stan Gordon, who has been doing this festival for a number of years, even before it was actually the Kecksburg UFO Festival. It used to just be just a community thing, and then it spawned into this UFO festival. And they still do the community stuff. If you go, it's kind of like a street fair. There's food, carnival rides. It's a carnival atmosphere. There's music, live music, a burnout contest, which is awesome. The kids have a tractor pulling contest. There's a parade with the fire trucks and some UFO stuff, and people wearing tinfoil hats. And last year I got this large plastic cup that's staring at me right now. It's a big alien, the straw coming out of its head. It's just awesome. There's so much going on. It's overwhelming, but it's so much fun. You will not be bored at this thing. Some conferences, you know, you walk around in circles and look at the tables, and you listen to a couple speakers. You try not to fall asleep. Not this one. This one is going to keep you going. It's going to keep you – you're going to be so consumed with all the fun stuff going on, you might actually forget about the speakers that are going to be there on Sunday, which includes Stan Gordon. He's going to be talking about UFO, Bigfoot encounters from all over the area there in mostly southwest Pennsylvania. I'm going to be there talking about the foundation of UFO research and investigation, and wrapping up a book on that. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll have my book done by this conference, and we'll have a debut at Kecksburg. I hope so. It's been a long time, a lot of work. You've ever tried to write a book or have published a book, you know it's not easy. Colin Schneider. Who? Colin Schneider, you know who he is. He's here on WCJV on Monday nights. Does a fantastic job. Great show. Radio show. We're talking about Cryptozoology 101, which I say this every week, but it is cool that he and I finally get to share a stage together. We've known each other for a while. I've gotten to speak at his school before, which was really neat. Love talking to impressionable youth because you have a chance to help mold their minds and brains into a different direction, where instead of sitting in front of a bunch of old people that stare at you because they don't care what you have to say, they've already made up their minds. I know I'm kind of really talking on tangents tonight. But Colin, he's 16 years old, and again, he hosts the Crypto Kid radio show here on WCJV on Monday nights. And also speaking that weekend at the Kecksburg UFO Festival, Ron Murphy, author of several books and at least three that we've talked about here on the show. And he's got a lot more. And hopefully I'm going to get my hands on another book of his fairly soon from his On series. I want the Mermaid one, too. I haven't read that one yet. He's going to be talking about Chestnut Ridge, the unexplained world of the Chestnut Ridge, a hike through Western Pennsylvania's Goblin universe. And Chestnut Ridge, if you're not familiar, this is a weird area that is just a magnet for all things anomalous. I mean, Bigfoot, UFO, ghosts, just not just that, but just other strange anomalous things that happen, balls of light, all sorts of weird things that have happened over the last few decades. So Kecksburg UFO Festival, get there. It's at the end of, it's the end of July. I think it wraps around into, July 30th. So it's July 28th. That's Friday through Sunday, July 30th in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. And the speakers are on that Sunday afternoon. And hopefully it won't be too hot for that. It was kind of hot last year. And we had a lot too much of rain. Way too much rain for that time of the year. And what else? Also be back in PA in August 5th for Strange Encounters of Pennsylvania. And then a couple weeks later, August 19th, I'll be at the Goose Project 2.0 MS fundraiser at Prospect Place Mansion in Trinway, Ohio. That's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fun event down there as well. So any event that's missing, you might have one. You want to let me know about it. Insider@paranewsinsider.com. If you don't do the whole email thing, I mean, that's so 1990s, I guess, or 2000s. I don't know what it is. Kids don't do that stuff anymore, I guess. You can contact me through social media, Facebook, Paranews Insider, Twitter @paranewsinsider. I don't know what else I have out there. Well, you'll find me. I'm available. I'm out there. You'll see it. So anyway, yes, cryptid news, the Chicago Phantom. Well, that's what Lon Strickler calls it. It's back. It's back again. After a two-week layoff, the large bat-like or owl-like creature with red eyes, kind of similar to the Mothman, was back in the news last week. And this week, it doesn't disappoint us. There are two more stories surrounding the Chicago Phantom in the news this week. The first incident actually took place back on May 27th, where a woman reported that she and her husband were walking back home after eating at a Thai restaurant. Not a Thai, you know, like a necktie, but Thai food restaurant. Okay, I just had to clarify. That was around 10:30 p.m. When her husband noticed that he thought he saw a large black bat flying only about 15 feet above them. Then they noticed a set of red eyes staring back at them. Ooh, creepy. They stated it flew overhead once more before it flew back toward the east into a park that borders Lake Michigan right there. If you've ever been to Chicago, Chicago's a little wacky. Beside it being windy all the time, it's the shoreline is – there's a bunch of parks. There's the observatory. A bunch of parks all the way up and down in front of the skyline. And then there's a big freeway that goes in between all that. And then you have all the city, the skyline, the buildings. And it's weird because if you're in, I'm going to say in Lake Michigan, but along Lake Michigan there, the city looks like it's kind of set off the lake. It's set off back, whereas a lot of other cities are built up right along the shores of oceans and bays and lakes and stuff. So it's just weird that the stuff is happening right there. But the couple that saw this, they just want to know what they saw. And they both agreed that they saw the same thing. Now, the sighting took place less than a mile away from the fourth overall reported sighting, this large backlight creature, back on April 7th of this year. And this was the first reported sighting since 2011 and kicked off the Chicago Phantom sightings this year. Although a subsequent sighting that was reported actually dated a little further back to March 22nd of this year. So that's kind of when things really began. But things were reported in a different order, which I'll kind of clarify that here in a second. It's also very close to the June 3rd incident that was reported by two separate parties. Now, even more interesting is that May 27th, which is the date of this particular incident we're talking about, was also the night another report came in from West 127th and Ashland Avenue, which is about 18 and a half miles southwest as the bat flies. And this previous incident is said to have happened at around 7:30 p.m. And that gives you a little bat friend 3 hours to travel 18 and a half miles, which is about, 6 miles an hour. That's not too bad. And I'm really surprised that there are not more reports, especially of these two incidents I just talked about, and as well as between all that area, just even on May 27th alone. I mean, there should be a dozen sightings. Where are they going? I don't know. And the second sighting, Chicago, throw the link in here. If you're in the chat room, why don't we get to, you guys get to see the links before they hit the feed, which the Facebook feed feeds my Twitter page. And I release these stories. May not be the link that you may have seen this before if you read about any of these stories. I do research on them, and sometimes I come up with better links or more information or something that's a little bit more up to date or a little bit more truthful than what's been pushed around through the paranormal media or regular media. And I try to get that information to you guys out during the week. But again, it's after I report on these stories. So yeah, the information may be a little behind, but you're going to get good information nonetheless. And these reports are coming directly from phantomsandmonsters.com. Lon Strickler has done a fantastic job of keeping all this stuff up to date. And after the second story I'm going to talk about, I'll give you guys the link again in the chat room for the Google Maps as it's been updated. And I'll also release that again during the week as I put all this stuff out there. So the second sighting of the Chicago Phantom / Mothman / Owlman / Batman, whatever you want to call it, giant bat-like creature reported. What are you doing, Batman? Jeez, man. I think he heard me say Batman and he got a little upset. You're not mad that you said Batman, are you? It's copyright infringement. Well, he says it's copyright infringement. Sorry, I can't say bat. Can't say that. I'll just say Owlman or Chicago Phantom. How's that? Does that suit your needs, Batman?
I'll have to ask my lawyers.
And I was going to ask his lawyers. Well, you know, there's a chat room. You don't have to sit in here behind me. You can use your computer. Well, but he's showing me his hands. I guess his hands are too big to type with those gloves. You could take the gloves off, Batman. Jeez Louise. Anyway, where was I at? Screwing me up again. So the creature reported in the skies over Chicago, Illinois. Friday, June 23rd is the date of this report. So that was pretty frequent, or not frequent, but pretty up to date. So they didn't drag their feet on this one. They got right around to it. And this one, I just mentioned the planetarium. This one occurred near the Adler Planetarium around 9:30 p.m. And a man and his girlfriend were visiting Chicago, out-of-towners, and viewing some of the museums. And I guess they had to get something to eat. So they stopped by the Adler Planetarium and saw motion and saw people pointing at the sky while shouting. And they said the focus of the attention appeared to be on a large bat with human-like features. The witnesses stood there for about a half hour waiting to see if the creature came back, but it did not. It's a long time to wait for a bat to come back. Anyway, they stated that many other people had also waited to see if the creature came back or to get, I guess, clarification as to what they saw. Now, there's actually a third sighting this week, but so far details have not been made available. I didn't ask. I don't know. I'm sure Lon's a busy guy. I don't want to bother him today. But I did send him some information. Well, we'll talk about this story next. The sighting occurred near the United Center and is known only to be a flying humanoid flying fairly high. That's the only information about this new one. I have no idea what date or time or anything. Seems like a majority of these are happening in the evening and early early late night, that makes any sense. You know, 9:30, 10:30 p.m. You know, when us old people are going to bed. So now the Google map created by Lon Strickler now contains 19 sightings. And that goes back to 2011, with three of these sightings occurring in 2011. So that would leave 16 happening this year. And before, well, let me throw the second story in the chat room for you guys. And I was kind of hoping before the show that I would have information on this third sighting. But yeah, Batman's creeping me out. He's still sitting there staring at me. But anyway, let me post the Google Maps thing in here as well. This guy's going to have that. And again, if you have this this link, you don't need another link. This is actually changed because I zoomed in on it, and that changes the actual link. If that makes sense. When you do anything from Google Maps, if you zoom in or pan or do anything, it's giving you essentially a coordinates with that. And, but he updates it as soon as he does a report. It's all part of what he does when he updates his blog, when he releases stuff on social media. That map is already updated, so you can get a hold of that information. And again, thanks, Lon Strickler. You've done a fantastic job covering this story. And he's not just reporting, and he's not just getting these sightings and throwing them up on a blog and changing a map. I mean, he's actually researching these. He's actually calling these people. He's actually doing an interview, trying to get to the bottom of what's really going on up there in Chicago. It's really strange, and you don't – unfortunately, it's not gaining a ton of traction in the media. It's not really – as big as what it should be. To me, and this is the biggest paranormal story of the year so far. And it's just mind-boggling. And again, if you look at the dates, you know, people will report these things in. It doesn't all come in order. And the 13th one overall of 19 was the earliest of this year, which is March 22nd. The fourth overall sighting was April 7th. The fifth overall was April 15th. The seventh overall report was also April 15th, different locations. And then we have April 16th, April 27th, May 5th, May 19th, another one May 19th, which are actually the same location. That's when the Chicago Riverwalk incident happened. And that was a really interesting one because the first report described two, not one, but two large bat-like creatures flying around this bridge in Chicago, the Columbus Drive Bridge, and also another, I think it was a set of witnesses, also the same date. 5/27, there was two reports, both different places. And then on June 3rd, there was also two reports, both from the same location. And then, of course, the two that I just mentioned, actually, no, this is out of order. So the 16th report was actually June 17th. And the 17th report, we don't know yet the location. Just the question mark was the third one. And the 19th one, the last one on the list, is the 623 Adler Planetarium. I hope I didn't confuse you, but it's just weird that when things are reported, they don't match up in sequential order. But if you look on the Google map there, they're not in sequential order of date, but they're in sequential order of the actual report given in, which is interesting. But I like to look at linear. When are things being reported in blocks? But it's really cool to see this map, and you kind of get an idea of where this stuff is. And I wish I had a vacation. I would seriously go down there and just kind of sit, a pair of binoculars, a can of bat food. I don't know what they eat. What do you throw a pair of socks up in the air or something? They're supposed to swoop down and catch it. I don't know, but I would love to investigate this hands-on and see if I can figure out what's going on. But unless somebody wants to fund that, I'm not going to be able to suddenly take time off of work. So that is your Chicago Phantom report of the week. And hopefully Lon can get down to the heart of the matter and figure out what's going on, or we can get some more information other than just these continued sightings. So far, no photos, no videos. There's been a couple of reports that people supposedly have had attempted to take photographs, but obviously we haven't seen anything. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, and we'll see what happens. And this next story, we're going to go down to Round Rock, Texas. Now, last year, some of you who follow me on Facebook might remember these pictures, but I participated in a really cool thing that the local parks where I live did, and they basically had these cutouts of Bigfoot. So it was like a look shadowy. They were painted black, so it looked like a shadow of Bigfoot, and they hid him coming around trees and things like that, only in certain parks in the county. And you had to post your photograph with these things on Instagram. So I had a little fun with it, and I posted a couple of pictures, and it was weird. But it was really neat to get out to some of these parks I've never been to and to look for Bigfoot. It was just a clever way to get people to explore various parks in the area. And for me, it was my birthday. So it was a fun birthday adventure. Well, this year, down in Round Rock, Texas, the Round Rock Parks and Recreation Department in Texas has stirred up a little bit of controversy with its attempt to lure people out in the parks in regard to Bigfoot. The parks have put up photographs of prints on their Facebook page, and they made it look like it was closed-circuit television, black and white. And they even released a video said to have been shot at one of their parks. Now, for me, I quickly identified it. It didn't happen in Round Rock, Texas. Actually, like a six-year-old sighting. I'm pretty familiar with that video. I've seen it before. And while the post on their Facebook site might have been a jest, I mean, when I looked at the pictures, supposedly on a closed-circuit camera, they're black and white, but they're taken close up. Closed-circuit cameras, unfortunately, can't do that like that. So I knew that it was – for me, I knew that it wasn't legitimate. It wasn't something that was supposed to be a news story saying, hey, guess what? Bigfoot is actually in our parks. But it from there, it got a little confusing. And I think some of the other people were confused. And what else they did here is they kind of startled people with the story, the way it was done, and with this video, because they didn't say where it was from. They just said it was actually in their parks, which kind of scared people a little bit. And they also said that there was an inclusion of the FBI saying that there is a threat of Bigfoot in the area. The FBI studying Bigfoot or researching Bigfoot or investigating Bigfoot? Weird. Yeah, but judging from the photographs and the fact that the park said that the FBI has now added Bigfoot to the top 10 most wanted list, that's kind of crazy. But you know what? People actually were believing this. They were a little afraid about this. And I thought that was ridiculous. Now, the FBI top 10 most wanted list, all you have to do is type that into Google. There's a link. You can do the most wanted or the top 10 most wanted. It's easily accessible, and I could tell you, you don't have to waste your time. Bigfoot's not on it. I know. I would not have checked, since I already know that the word gullible is in the dictionary. You don't have to look for that either. But I'm doing my job, you know, for you guys and looking out for you. Now, personally, I kind of don't find it funny, and I think they took things a little bit too far. It's cool that you're trying to get parents and kids involved, getting them out to the parks. But you made a wanted poster and claim that the FBI has altered their top 10 most wanted list to include Bigfoot, and that Bigfoot is a danger, and trying to scare people with saying that this video was shot at Bigfoot. It's in our woods. Come out and check them out. It was kind of a mixed message. And even the local news media, when this story first broke, it's a couple of weeks old now, they weren't sure if it was serious or just a way to get people out into the parks. There was very little communication the first couple of days. Now, the parks did realize this, and they have released other news that it's just a way to encourage parents to bring their kids out in the woods and help find Bigfoot. And in watching a video blog by a 13-year-old girl named Emma Rose, I discovered there's a number of Bigfoot crossing signs, which are really neat, by the way. They're really cool. I'm sure they're going to end up stolen. And it also has some fake tracks in the grass near them. There's also warning signs posted and keen eye observers are able to find hair samples that are wound around some fences and can also be scared into oblivion by speakers set up out in the woods with large gorilla-like howls and grunts. That part's not cool. But I still think it's cool, even if it's going to frighten young children into never adventuring outside ever again and having a fear of Bigfoot. Great job, Round Rock. I don't know. I'm a little split on this story. I think it's cool that they're trying to get people out in the woods and they're trying to get parents, again, involved with their kids and going out hiking and being out in nature. And, yeah, you know, they got to pay the bills too. So I get that part. But at the same time.
Station ID time.
Oh, geez. Oh, thanks, Batman. Yeah. No, okay. Yeah, I got to do the station ID. Thanks, Batman. So. You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVRadio.com. And obviously it's 7:30, so you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, and your co-host, Batman, which is gone. I don't know where he went. He's creepy. Yes, so Round Rock, Texas. Interesting little tidbit here. I love the Austin, San Antonio area. I've visited there a number of times. And way back when, this would be probably 2003, I think, I really wanted to move to this area. Austin is beautiful. There's a lot of hiking trails. There's a lot of biking trails. Lots of great jobs in the computer information technology area. And obviously, San Antonio is just beautiful as well. A lot of history there. But I wanted to move there. My best friend lived in College Station, but he's on the radio, so he bounces around from city to city. Also made a lot of other friends there in that area. So really wanted to go down there and live. But things just kind of fell apart. Ended up not going down there. Probably a good thing, but not that I love Ohio. But anyway, Round Rock, really nice community, really nice area. They have a minor league baseball team called the Express. And I've heard other cities or other counties, I should say, do this with this Bigfoot theme. Some are pretty cool. And this one I think is really neat, but I don't like how they went about it. I think it's a little scary for kids to be walking through the woods and hear a large gorilla screaming out of the woods. And I do have – let me get the – let me put this link in the chat room. I'm also going to put a link in the chat room. And I'll share this during the week. Don't worry. You don't have to rush to the chat room to get this. There's also a YouTube video of this Emma Rose that I'll post. It's really cool. It's really neat the way she did this. It's a little scary. A little scary parts. It might make you jump. She did a fantastic job at that, by the way. So it's really neat. Let me put that in the chat room. It's really good job with that. It's kind of cute, but it's really neat the way she put it together. And it's really interesting too, because you get to see the details of these signs and some of the other stuff they did. I mean, putting hair on stuff, just a fantastic job with this. So kudos to them for that part of it. But you know, the misinformation part is, I don't know, it's a little concerning, but, I don't know. It's all good, I guess. And we'll see what happens. But it's probably over by now. But they're still doing reports on Facebook on the Parks and Recreation site for Round Rock. And it seems like people are liking it. And that brings me to the book of the week, which honestly, I actually don't have this book anymore. I lost it. I was at a convention somewhere. And it was on my table, and I think somebody walked off with it. That's the story. I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere. I have so many books. I have so much garbage laying around everywhere, all kinds of stuff. I have stuff. And I don't know where this book is. It's a cool book. It's a kid's book, which is why I'm mentioning it. And yeah, we can't do pictures in the chat room anymore. Right now. But Well, Dita, I'll email you the YouTube link. I guess it's not working in the chat room. But again, I'll be posting that through social media next couple of days. Probably, I don't know. We'll see. I guess I'm going to have to email that to her and everybody else. Anyway, the book of the week this week is, it's a kid's book. And it's called the Bigfoot Discovery Book, Coloring and Activity Book. And if you go to Amazon, it's actually it's out of stock temporarily. It's only $6. You can get them used. Let's see. Maybe you can get it here. Oh, yeah. Okay. You can get it. Okay. So good. It's also available through Hancock House Publishers. This is why I remembered this. I was just looking through their website a couple days ago, and I saw this book, and I remembered, wow, I don't think I've done this book yet. And this book came out in 2005. It's really interesting. It's only 32 pages, but it's a really cool book. You don't see a whole lot of stuff for children with Bigfoot. The picture on the front of the book has Bigfoot waving. He's very friendly-like. It's not like scary and intimidating or going to steal all your beef jerky or anything like that. It's not a really thick book, 32 pages, but it does a good job. There's a lot of educational material geared toward children about the probability of Bigfoot and a lot of the assumptions or guesses, I should say, to where Bigfoot might be, its habitat. And it's written by a guy named Michael Rugg, who has written a lot of other tons of other books, a lot of stuff on Bigfoot. And let's see, he's actually a curator of the Bigfoot Discovery Museum located in the Santa Cruz Mountains of Central California. And its purpose is to educate the public about the probability of Bigfoot and the current best guesses as to its habitats and its place in the natural world. So it's a good book for, and again, it's an activity book, coloring book. So if you have kids that are interested in Bigfoot, or, you know, maybe you're into Bigfoot and you kind of want to nudge them in that direction, I get it. This is a fantastic book. Again, I don't have it anymore. I don't know where it's at, but I remember it very well. And I was really surprised. It's actually really down to earth. It's written by somebody who understands the Bigfoot phenomena. So it's not coming from somebody who's just trying to make money off of Bigfoot, who doesn't really know anything about it. Somebody who has a background with Bigfoot. And yeah, that's it. Bigfoot, book of the week. So I'm going to put the link for Hancock House Publishers. And you can have that. And I'll also put the Amazon link. I guess you can. It says temporarily out of stock, but again, you can always order it from different places other than through Amazon. So I guess you can do that if you trust it. And I'm sure it's maybe available through other book retailers. But Hancock House Publishers is the publisher of the book, and they probably really appreciate you ordering it through them. I know I've ordered a whole bunch of books through Hancock House. It's a lot of fantastic Bigfoot books written by John Green and a lot of other authors that are Christopher L. Murphy, I can't remember who else, but a lot of the West Coast authors on Bigfoot and Sasquatch books. And I have another one that I have like 7 books that I'm reading at the same time. I know that's weird. I have Michael Crichton just came out. I'm reading that. I'm reading a book project, which is from Hancock House, doing all this other research on UFO stuff. So I'm reading all these books at the same time. I don't know how I can keep it together. Anyway, that's your book of the week this week. Bigfoot Discovery Book, Coloring and Activity Book by Michael Rugg. And that's 2 G's, R-U-G-G, the book of the week. Now, UFO news. Yes, the number one story of the week in the paranormal, the anomalous world. Everyone's talking about this. CNN on down. That's the most popular viral story this week. And it was reported that a hacktivist group, Anonymous, you probably heard of them. They haven't really done too much lately, but they're out there. Now, they supposedly released a video stating that NASA was on the verge of making an announcement that they have discovered advanced alien life. Numerous news outlets pounced on this story and published very similar stories. However, within 24 hours, many of these so-called facts within the video were disseminated by many different people, prompting these news agencies to update their stories and make it appear as though they knew all along that this was nothing more than a hoax. And this is the part of the story. I don't want to get too mad. Let me calm down here. It really annoys me the most about this. Now, these are the same news outlets that typically make fun of those who believe in UFOs, aliens, conspiracy theories, and, you know, related stuff here. Now, they are the ones spreading misinformation. And they call themselves news outlets? Well, the video was put up last Tuesday on a YouTube channel called Anonymous Global, using a picture of the infamous Guy Fawkes mask, and even using a similar video style of Anonymous with the you know, the voiceover and the little movements of things, the picture on picture stuff. And it didn't look right to me, though. And a lot of people were quick to notice that it didn't seem to be a typical Anonymous video, and a lot of things were in fact wrong. Now, once the reality that this was not truly Anonymous hit, the stories began to change online and it was taken less seriously. But actually, a lot of news outlets don't even realize it's not really Anonymous. They just found out the facts were wrong. And other details began to be brought to the surface, such as the fact that the dialogue of the 12-minute video came from a conspiracy website called ancientcode.com. Other statements in the video came from statements made prior to and during the April 26th hearing by the Committee of Science, Space, and Technology that discussed advances in the search for life. The information discussed during the hearing are the discoveries of new exoplanets, which, you know, I've been talking about that during the Paranormal News Insider. The video quotes Thomas Zurbuchen, the associate administrator of NASA's Science Mission Directorate, when he said, quote, "Taking into account all of the different activities and missions that are specifically searching for evidence of alien life, we are on the verge of making one of the most profound, unprecedented discoveries in history," unquote. Well, as exciting as that sounds, and I think he was kind of like, shouldn't have used those words in that way, because it sounds a little bit more exciting than what's really going on, but it does not mean that NASA is on the verge of making an announcement of finding advanced extraterrestrial societies, but that the hope that, since so many people are looking, that the prospect of discovery has never been higher. Now, Zurbuchen tweeted yesterday at just after noon, quote, "Contrary to some reports, there's no pending announcement from NASA regarding extraterrestrial life," unquote. Now, a major of the majority of these news stories, they babble on about these latest discoveries, including TRAPPIST-1. Oh, they're so far, they don't do research. I don't get it. You're journalists. A lot of them, and I've read a number of them just even today, they haven't updated this stuff. They make it sound like we should be able to move there anytime. However, they neglect to mention a little bit of the recent discoveries that the system seems to suggest that the host star of that solar system is a little bit more unstable, and water and the possibility of life are pretty slim in that little solar system. And as new research comes out, it's growing smaller and smaller with each paper that's written or each discovery that comes out. So I'm not sure why they're still regurgitating that information. So the sad reality is that if these journalists had done their research, which is their job, not just reporting news, but getting it right, they would have realized that everything in the purported Anonymous video was information that was actually fully accessible online. Patrick Donahue, via the website Squawker, points out that there are two possibilities surrounding the story being pushed by the media. One, Each media outlet has uniquely made a highly embarrassing error of fact-checking oversight, or two, the collective media knows the source is bogus, but wanted an excuse to run the story anyway. Well, Squawker and I both agree that number one is the most likely explanation. I don't think that they even realize that this actually isn't anonymous. Now, the domino effect of news reporting left the fact-checking behind until those with the time and skills discovered the truth, and now those stories have been altered to look like they were right all along. It really annoys me when you see the word updated. And if you, like, sometimes I'll park. I know this is weird. I'm going to tell you some of the stuff I do. But when I'm using Chrome, and sometimes I'll pop these stories up, and I'll just park them, and I'll reference them, and I'll look. And every now and again, I'll refresh them. And it's amazing to see how many times some of these stories actually get updated. And the news is – you get a write-over. You don't get that in a newspaper. You might get a retraction. You might get an update a couple of days later, a day later, saying, sorry, we misspelled so-and-so's name. Now they don't even – you don't even know what they're doing. They update these stories, and you have no knowledge of the changes. Now, some bloggers will actually mention in the article or at the end of the article things that they changed along the way, which is nice. Now, many people who are fact-checking others on this story are also missing one critical fact, and I've mentioned this already. I kind of alluded to this. Anonymous Global, which is the YouTube channel that published this video, is more than likely not anonymous, the activist group. This is just somebody that's using that identity to get this story out there. And that was a good bet because it worked. Oh boy, did this work. You got everybody's attention on this one. It just seems like what I think is, and again, this is kind of inside information as to what I do. I have a lot of things set up in Google. You know, you do Google search and certain terms pop up in the news, or anytime it hits anything, I get an email about these topics. So I'm sure that they have anonymous set up in their Google News feed. And anytime anonymous pops up in any story, you get an email, and they give you the links. So I think that's what happened, and they just jumped on this and they reported it without fact checking. But what's interesting to me, which I don't think that they really have to, but if I was anonymous, I'd want to. But there's been no comment from the real anonymous on this story. But I can bet they're not happy with this poser. And this person who's used their name to find their own personal 15 minutes of fame. That's not really a smart move. I'm pretty sure it's not a wise choice at all. I certainly would not want to be the person that did this because obviously they have no idea who these people are and what they're capable of doing. It's a very large network of people that are underground that have access to all sorts of information. Speaking from, I'll admit this, I guess, when I was younger, I used to build computers, and I also used to hack stuff. It wasn't that hard back in the early 90s. It was actually pretty easy. And once you learn how to do things on computers, a lot of that stuff can translate to other things, telephone systems, electronic grids, and I'm not going to go any further with that. Things are a lot harder nowadays, but it's not impossible. And if you have the skills and you have the knowledge and you have the know-how, people can pretty much do whatever they want to you. And if you screw with a bunch of people that have this ability, I'm sure if they decide to turn on you, you're going to have difficulty getting gas at the gas station with your debit card with no money on it. And your Facebook site will be banned permanently, and anything and everything else that you can imagine can go wrong. So that's my take on that. Let me find a link. I got plenty of links on this story, a whole bunch, including, if you want, I had the two-hour committee hearing where this quote came from that they used. It's kind of boring. It's fun for the first like 2-3 minutes. And I think I passed out. I think I woke up like with 2 minutes left and said, why am I wasting my time watching this? But it's interesting nonetheless. No, I'm just kidding. I watched probably maybe an hour of it. Well, I'll give you the Squawker link here in the chat room. Give you a good jump start. Trust no one. That's who you can trust. Yeah, you can't trust the media. Who can you trust? I mean, the media is getting stuff wrong. And, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't have 24-hour news sources. You watched your evening news. Anything that happened after that sometimes was reported in the newspaper in the morning, sometimes not. If the baseball game ran too late, you wouldn't even hear about it. You had to turn on the radio. I mean, I'm not that old, like black and white TVs and stuff. I mean, I had a black and white TV when I was a kid, but that's a different story. But this 24-hour news cycle has just forced people to shove so much information, so many stories, and there's so much competition. It's about money nowadays. That's the problem. It's about sponsorship. It's about doing something that somebody else isn't doing and getting to the story first. That these people are just ignoring facts. And I have to say this part too, journalism is dead. Years ago, if you published a photograph that was altered in any way, you would be fired. And now it's the expectation, it seems like. Falsifying information just to get a story out before everybody else. That's what it's all about. Anyway, let me step off soapbox here, and we're going to go into – that was UFO news. So, well, we're going to go to other news. No ghost news this week. And we're going to go to Peru. Peru. So, I don't know. It's a trip. And this is possibly the greatest scientific discovery of the 21st century. Wow. I had to read that slow so it can soak in. Possibly the greatest scientific discovery of the 21st century. That's the claim. And that's what Gaia will tell you. It's not a person. It's a website. The story of the Nazca mummy. Yeah, it's being told as if it's been confirmed by scientists and it's truly an extraterrestrial body since it could not possibly be human due to many things about it that defy human physiology. That's what they want you to believe. There's videos on this Gaia website that's kind of perpetuating this information. There's a lot of websites that are also publishing stories and kind of twisting facts to suit their theories. I mean, the story is true. There were journalists, a surgeon, a radiologist, a medical doctor, biologists, and others who are part of this groundbreaking discovery, proving once and for all aliens have existed here on Earth in the past. There it is. These scientists have proven it, right? Fancy stories, these videos. Now, Gaia, which is, again, it's a website, was careful not to make the statement that the mummy was, in fact, alien. But their scientists made statements that pointed to this being the ultimate conclusion, and other websites began publishing these thoughts as fact. Now, Gaia is not innocent of deception, as they have helped perpetuate the story, and they are standing in the middle of profiting the most. Financially, that is, profiting the most financially from the story. Now, the story began... Well, it began many years ago, but this particular thing about the mummy began this spring. There's a man named Jaime Maussan, journalist, television personality, and UFO expert, self-proclaimed, learned of this mummy and contacted Gaia to come out and film it. Now, Gaia is a video-based New Age website that survives on membership, which charges $95 a year to view their 7,000 plus videos on yoga, personal transformation, spiritual growth, metaphysics, ancient origins. and is now expanding into television-like multi-episode documentaries like the one about this Peruvian mummy. Now, I guess that's not that bad. $95 a year, it's like $8 a month. It's like Netflix. So I can't bash that, but still, just to watch a bunch of videos? Well, I guess that's Netflix too. Well, I don't know. Now, Mao San has been at the root of many conspiracies involving Peruvian culture, including the Nazca skulls that many believe are aliens, but are in fact a product of ancient practice of artificial cranial deformation. I'll say that all the time. Not what you think. The truth has been twisted. And Mao San has also been involved. There's a list here. There's like four or five other hoaxes that he's been a part of in Peru and elsewhere, also dealing with Roswell. So he can't be trusted. Can't be trusted. And he's also positioned himself with scientists who agree with his thoughts and have created falsified objects and created false statements to fool people, as well as to profit from these purported artifacts. You know, if people fall for things, that's their fault. But to lie about history and create fake objects and to tear down your own culture, that's just horrible. I mean, I just don't understand that. It'd be like making fake Civil War guns and selling them at, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and lying to people or something, or saying that they had automatic weapons and trying to sell them an M16, saying that this was used in the Civil War. Pretty much the same thing here. Now, Mick West of Metabunk.org points to the possibilities of what this mummy is. Now, in descending order, West feels that the mummy could be, one, a modern fake mummy created from a combination of human and animal bones created for the show. Two, a modern fake but created locally without the show's immediate knowledge. Three, an older fake created for tourists. Four, a very old fake, actually mummified, but made from human and animals. Five, a deformed human. Six, an unknown species of animal. Or seven, an extraterrestrial species, like a visiting alien. Now, the first four examples imply that the mummy is a fake. And this is not hard to believe based on Gaia's past of delivering highly questionable statements with no valid backup, as well as those scientists that are involved. You know, you think scientists, you think you have to trust these people. But they're also making claims without anything being peer-reviewed. Nothing is published anywhere in a scientific journal. It's a closed circuit of scientists, which is a no-no. That's not science. I don't care what your background is. In other words, despite this spooky-looking mummy, there really is no validation of any evidence supporting this as anything actually real. Despite this collection of real-looking and acting scientists, these are all people who have displayed pseudoscientific beliefs and who have been in the center of controversy in the form of hoaxes in the past. And my thing is, once a hoaxer, always a hoaxer. You can't trust anybody who's lied to you. And it doesn't matter. UFO field, ghost field, cryptid field. People trust these people after they lie to you. How can you trust it? I don't get it. The Biscardis, the Dyers. Why do people trust these people after they've lied to them? Cross them off the list. Don't listen to them anymore. And it goes with this guy here too. And since we're doing lists here on the show, here's a list of red flags by skeptical researcher Sharon Hill from her Doubtful News website. Number one, Mao San being involved. Number two, the obvious plaster appearance of the mummy. It doesn't look right. Shame on you if you thought this was real. Come on, look at it. It's like pure white. I get it. You know, not everybody has seen this stuff, and I probably wouldn't have gotten involved, in all honesty, with this Peruvian stuff had it not been for some of these paranormal news stories, as well as the fact that I've gone down to see Mayan culture. So I've, you know, it's Mexico, it's not South America, but I have an interest in this stuff and history. So not everybody has that interest. So I get that if you didn't really pick up on that right away. Number three, the reveal by special report called Unearthing Nazca by Gaia with no sign of reputable scientific expertise. And number four, I mentioned this already, a closed team of researchers with alternative views that go against the scientific mainstream. Number five, no scientific results confirmed or retested because it has not been made available for anyone to see. Number six, no documentation of location, context, or discovery. It just kind of came into existence. Number seven, promotion of it being a fantastic discovery that will, quote, change everything, unquote. And number eight, also mentioned this one, not published in a scientific publication. Strangely enough, to go along with the story, unless you read Hill's blog post on this, she's also received information from an actual archaeologist who brought her some more interesting information. And this information points to a person named Ronceros, who has tried to generate interest with a different mummy that he initially claimed was an alien. And this is all occurring at the same time. However, his plot was exposed by an actual archaeologist who exposed the mummy as a fake. Now, Ronceros quickly changed the story to say that it was a representation of an alien created by natives with real bones. But the cat was already out of the bag. Now, Malsan has been cleverer in his attempt to hide the truth so far, and he'll probably get away with it, in all honesty. And the story is just going to fade away like the other stuff over time. But I'm sure somebody will pop up and try to profit from it, like some of the other Nazca stuff. Even Snopes was in on this. Snopes was right on it. They put all this stuff together as well. So I'll give you the metabunk. Let me throw that in the chat room real quick. And we have one more story, one last story on Amelia Earhart. Ah, oh boy. I wish they'd just leave her alone at this point. You're not going to find her. And let me put the doubtfulnews.com story in there. That's from Sharon Hill, skeptical researcher. And our last story here, again, Amelia Earhart. The search is underway once again for Amelia Earhart. Well, not for her exactly. I mean, come on. She's like, what, 119 years old? And her birthday's coming up, July 24th. She should be 120. Yay, buy her cake. Now, Earhart disappeared on the morning of July 2nd, 1937 at age 39. And despite a search of over 150,000 square miles over 17 days after her disappearance, neither her nor her navigator, Fred Noonan, nor their Lockheed Electra 10E, for matter that matters, were found. They were trying to circumnavigate the world. If you don't remember the story, they were on the last leg of the trip, essentially, coming from, I think it was Papua New Guinea, trying to go to an island, and then island hop to Honolulu, and then they would have been back in California where it all started, and they didn't quite make it. And that was July 2nd, 1937. Now, Earhart was declared dead in absentia on January 9th, 1939. Basically, she was just absent. She wasn't around. So it was actually by her husband so he could fund efforts. George Putnam, he continued search efforts. And numerous theories, including conspiracy theories, have popped up about the disappearance of these two aviators. It's really weird how this story has evolved into all sorts of things that really make no sense. But a lot of the conspiracy theories happened right after she disappeared. Weird stuff. At nearly the 80th anniversary of the disappearance of the airplane, an expedition organized by the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, or TIGHAR, that's weird, set sail on Saturday, last Saturday, for one more search for Earhart with some special detectives on board. The International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery has already made 12 expeditions in search of Earhart, but this one includes four border collies named Berkeley, Piper, Marcy, and Kylie, who are human remains detection dogs. Very cool. Weird, but very cool. They're sending dogs to try to find human remains, bones. Now, according to the article on National Geographic, and the National Geographic Society is sponsoring the expedition. These types of dogs have nosed out burial sites as deep as 9 feet and as old as 1,500 years. Although the dogs will have a tremendous journey, as well as have to deal with huge coconut crabs on Nuku'Maroro Island, where Earhart is rumored to have ended up. Now, it's thought that this is the best chance ever to find proof of Earhart and Noonan. And back in 1940, it was purported that 13 bones were discovered and shipped to Fiji. And unfortunately, those bones are now lost. Tom King, the senior archaeologist for the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, stated about those bones, quote, "There's real potential for there to be more bones there. There are 193 bones unaccounted for," unquote. I see what you did there, Tom. 193 plus 13 equals 206, which is the number of bones in a human body. Well, the problem, Tom, is that Earhart was not alone. So that would actually be another 399 bones unaccounted for. But anyway, he said that because, well, he's right. They're only concerned about these other 193 bones because Earhart has a living ancestor to use as a potential DNA match if her bones are discovered, but Noonan does not. So his bones, well, they're not going to help much. And the expedition itself should reach the island in a couple of days, and hopefully we don't have to wait a month or 2 months to read this in National Geographic magazine. And I'm going to keep track of the story. I think it's interesting, as well as having the dogs here. You know, if the dogs can crack this story after 80 years and all these people that have researched this, that's all it would have taken. A couple of border collies. Well, four of them, to be exact. That would be a pretty cool story. And hopefully we can finally put this one to rest. I feel bad for Earhart and Noonan. Man, after all this time. Anyway, hopefully we can find a solution. And we can cover that up. So again, don't forget, next week we will have a show. I know it's 4th of July. I know. Don't worry. I won't go over next week. And you can check that out. Here's a cool picture. Check that out. And I also, that's not the outro one for you in the chat room. I do the special little thing. And I got one here. This is cool. There you go. Can't wait till we get a new chat room. This one's cool. Don't get me wrong. All right. So that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. Me and Batman go into the bar. Ready, Batman? Oh, he's gone. I don't know where he's at. Anyway, thank you to Cindy, my producer, all the hard work she does behind the scenes, to Dita for helping in the chat room. I don't know what her name is this week. Chukums or Chatcums or I don't know what her name is. She's got a weird name every week until she fixes it. Anyway, thank you to everyone else tuning in. I know Jim Mallard of the Mallard Report was trying to get into the chat room earlier. He's listening live. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you listening in. And TMR247.com. Listen to his show coming up. I think it's 9 o'clock. I don't know. It's soon. Just go there now. Listen to his archives. Great stuff. As for me, I'll see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck. And always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.